This time of year, even sensible people will pack up a few belongings and hit the road looking for adventure. Today, summer road trips, tips and memories. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. We've all heard that getting there is half the fun. That's not necessarily true, but some of the most interesting summer vacation experiences happen during the journey. This hour, travel writer Jennifer Wilson will be here to give us some great ideas for summer road trips in Iowa, and we want to hear about your road trip memories. We're also in the final 24 hours of our summer membership drive. Do your part at iowapublicradio.org. Join the conversation after the news. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe, and it is summer vacation season. And of course, family road trips have changed dramatically since the in-car DVD player was invented, and of course, handheld electronics and smartphones. But it still involves getting in the car with your family and heading out to seek adventure. This hour, we're going to talk about summer road trips. We want to hear your memories, ridiculous or sublime. You can give us a call at 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can also send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. And travel writer and author Jennifer Wilson is here with some great suggestions for summer road trips you can take in the state of Iowa. Hello, Jennifer.
Hey, Charity. Thanks for having me back.
Well, thank you so much for coming back. And before we start about talking about some of these great destinations, I know that you are not a stranger to road trips. And I, even in reading your book, Running Away to Home, you're not a stranger to road trips in faraway places with,
that's right,
with all kinds of different challenges. Do you have any good tips for us for a successful road trip?
I have to say we're pretty spare about our road trip stuff. I mean, sometimes we'll let the kids have screens when they're in the back seat, but for the most part, I kind of don't mind when my kids get bored and antsy in the back seat because they end up talking to us and playing games with each other and just looking out the window. Do you remember when you were a kid looking out the window because you were bored to death and probably sweating to death in the back seat of a car? But I feel like those things are good for kid brains and they don't have enough boredom in their life. That sounds weird, I know. But if you think about it for a second, I feel like the scroll of the landscape is part of what inspires us on a road trip. And I would encourage people to at least try a good chunk of their road trip when they take kids along to just sort of allow the addiction to hit their kid, too, of just watching things go by.
Well, and I know my brothers and I were always very creative in the back seat. And we weren't a stranger to hearing the, don't make me pull this car over.
That's right. You know, I seem to have memories, too, of just sort of rolling around untethered in the back seat of large vehicles, too. And am I wrong that there used to be a station wagon model that had a window that you could roll up between the front seat and the back seat?
Oh, I don't know about that. We had a
Talk about retro. Can we bring it back? That would be cool.
Now you can just turn on a DVD player and the kids won't talk to you.
Yeah. I mean, I want them talking, but I just, you know, sometimes you don't want to hear it.
We took our big road trips in the van that my dad used when he owned a carpet store and a paint business. Mm. So we were in the back of this big van with, we had a platform that was carpeted that we could sleep on and under. That was very safe.
That's
but
nice.
Also no windows.
Yeah. Well, good. I remember road tripping to Canada in my dad's red van, and there was a place where you could take the bolt out of the floor and look at the road.
Oh, my goodness.
That hours of entertainment and eye damage. But, you know, it was fun to watch it go by, huh?
Absolutely. And it's clearly made us the people we are today.
That's right.
Well, let's talk about some of the ideas that you have for great road trips in Iowa during the summer. And you start with a wonderful, wonderful, very Iowa experience, although this year it's also an Iowa and South Dakota experience. And we've talked, I think, before a little bit about Project AWARE, but tell us about it.
Yeah, it's a Watershed Awareness River Expedition is what AWARE stands for. It's just this really cool program through the DNR. And I even hesitate to call it a program because essentially, if you're a bargain traveler like me, It's a cheap week-long trip, and you get to go. This year's total cost is $148 for the whole week. They even provide canoes, and what you do is you float down a section of an Iowa watershed, an Iowa river, and you clean it up on the way. Get in, and it's a huge group project. There are hundreds of people there. There are families, there are grandparents taking their kids, grandkids out. You float down the river. They bring your meals to you. You really just kind of pull over and eat and snack, and then get back in the water, and you try to clean up the shore and clean up the bottom of the water. You can get to whatever degree of hardcore you want when you're doing that. I mean, I sort of ran the gamut just to kind of see what it was like, but you know, you can. They've got crews of college boys out there pulling tires out and parts of cars and things like that. I was more the fishing line expert and the lured, you know, retriever, things like that. But it's really a cleanup project that does amazing things and shows you a lot about what we need to do to clean up the water in the state of Iowa. Again, $148 for a week. This year, it's July 12th through 19th. You've got a deadline to sign up Friday, June 20th.
So next Friday.
That's right. After that, you're going to have a $10 late fee, but you get a T-shirt with that and you get to feel really cool walking around with that thing.
And so I know that there are a lot of places that have created family camp experiences.
Right.
So you can maybe they take a week out of the summer camping year and they have families come so that families can do this kind of thing together. This kind of sounds like family camp.
It is. And, you know, they've set up in these huge fields or sometimes just whole campgrounds and you take it over. And I'm a big fan of traveling into a temporary community. Anytime that you can travel with a group of people that have a limited period of time together, there's something that's sort of special that happens with that. You tell people things that you wouldn't tell friends, you know, friends about you that you've had your whole life don't know about you. I mean, there's a closeness with a program or with a trip like this. This year, you'll be going on a stretch of the Big Sioux River in northwest Iowa and southeast South Dakota. It's a partnership between Iowa and South Dakota, South Dakota's Game, Fish, and Parks Board. And all the food will be catered by Hy-Vee. It sounds really good, too. They've got steaks, biscuits and gravy, Chinese buffet, which Hy-Vee's Chinese buffet really rules the school. And there's always vegetarian options. So, Cheri, you should do that. You should do like a week live.
We actually keep talking about it. It hasn't happened yet. Maybe next year. Maybe
Clay Masters should do that.
Is he looking at you through the glass right now?
No, I just think it's a great idea.
Yeah, it is. It's a wonderful idea. And we're hoping to get out there and get some sound that we can bring back to people because it does sound like a wonderful
It's incredible.
Adventure.
It's incredible.
And really educational as well.
That's right. And you really get an idea of like, listen, things go in the water when you throw them away. They go in the water.
They don't disappear.
That's right. Things don't disappear. We need to clean up the water in the state of Iowa. If you get there a little early this year, if you start at the put-in point, it is you'll start at Lake Pahoja. I think it's Pahoja in Iowa. And then if you get there a little bit early, you'll get to take a look at Bison Day at Broken Kettle Grasslands, which starts at 9 a.m. And that'll be really cool.
All right. You seem to be focused a little bit on the water and, yeah. And on opportunities to spend some time on the water. You've got some great fishing ideas, too.
I do. You can see this next spring's issue of Iowa Outdoors magazine. But I just got back from a place that you really should visit this summer, too, if you can, because the fishing is incredibly hot in around the Creston area in Union County. There are three bodies of water there. All three of them are great places to go fishing. And there's something for everyone, really. 12 Mile Lake, 3 Mile Lake, and Green Valley State Park. Now, I was just down there. I caught my first walleye. I felt pretty excited about that. And because it's sort of post, they do a lot of renovation on those bodies of water down there. And it's sort of post-renovation for those lakes. And so you've got a lot of really big game fish or sort of sport fish down there along with really nice panfish. And it's just a lot of fun. And you're going to catch something, too. I mean, that's the most important part. Even I caught something. So that says something, you know. I mean, I get skunked all the time when I'm fishing. But the guy I was with, he caught something every other cast he made.
Wow.
That was on 3 Mile. But 12 Mile in Green Valley, I heard, are even hotter this summer.
So a great place to take your kids, too. They'll have success.
That's right. Green Valley State Park has something that we really need more of in Iowa, and that has cabins. And it has three little cabins. They're just adorable, on the lake itself. And they each have a little fishing dock. So, you know, I can see you getting up in the morning and taking your kid out there with their little kid pole, and you really can just teach them how to cast off a dock. It's really tough to teach a kid to fish if there's anything around them or nearby that they can get snagged on. My own son, Sam, snagged my eyebrow the first time he ever cast a fishing pole. But you can really, they're on their own. There's nothing around. It's a really nicely done little fishing area for families. And I would love to go down there and stay for a few days.
So. Well, and so far we've just talked about Western Iowa, which is a part of the state that a lot of people overlook.
Right. And, you know, it's, to me, it seems like there's more stuff going on, almost like everybody's catching up on the west side of the state to, you know, an Iowa that's trying pretty hard to take a look at itself and become ever better. So I really like these options for just taking a look at this side of the state. You've got the Les Hills over there that you always hear about, but the town of Creston, too, when you're down there, it seems like they're really coming along with a place to be when you don't want to go fishing. Say you go with your partner fishing and you want to take the afternoon off. There's some really cute places to go around Creston to take a look at. I saw some good shopping. There's a great little vintage shop there. There's a couple of antique stores there. They've restored the old train station with a museum inside, and it's pretty cool to take a look at that. There's a good pizza restaurant right on Main Street. And there's a little place called the Upper Crust that was my favorite spot. I love it when I go to small town Iowa and I can get decent coffee, and you can do that there. And there's also another coffee spot just a few doors down, too, that both of them, I tasted the coffee and they're excellent.
All right. Well, let's move over to Eastern Iowa before we leave the water. What's your recommendation over in Eastern Iowa?
Well, you've probably all heard the buzz of the Field of Dreams 25th anniversary that's coming up this weekend, and Kevin Costner will be here. If Kevin's listening, hello. Welcome. But there's also...
He's listening, Jennifer.
Yes, he is. Hello, Kevin. And also Matt Lauer and Bob Costas will be here, too. But if you're going to stay on the water, around Wapello, Iowa, there's a new Lake Odessa water trail in Louisa County. That's eastern Iowa along the Mississippi River. The trail winds through Port Louisa National Wildlife Refuge and Odessa Management Area. I have not been on this particular trail yet, but I've heard that it's just incredible with wildlife, and it's got that cool wetland, shallow lake vibe to it that I always really like to visit.
Very nice. Let's talk more food. Obviously, we're going to eat wherever we go.
That's right.
Do you have some interesting suggestions for us?
I don't want you to feel like I'm obsessing on water here, but there is a new whitewater park in Iowa. It's in Elkader. And that makes two in Iowa now. That means you can go down there, and they've got the rapids that you can float on and do tricks on and have some fun in a boat. So Charles City also has the first one, and Manchester is working on a whitewater park as well. But there's another reason to visit Elkader, and it's Shara's Restaurant. And it's a smaller town, but it's gourmet dining in this smaller town in Iowa. They serve Algerian, North African, and Mediterranean food, along with some regular Midwest. I mean, you can get a steak there. But it's cool because the dining room is along the Turkey River, and it just is so gorgeous. It's such a beautiful place to sit. And also, you can learn about some of the interesting history about Elkader. It's actually named after an Algerian Muslim hero, Amir El-Kadir. And they've got all that information on the walls, and the guy that started it will tell you all about it.
Right. Well, and that was the name of Elkader is what drew him there, right?
Mm-hmm.
Very interesting story.
Right.
Other food destinations?
Food destinations. Well, my buddy Jim Duncan, who's a food guy here in Iowa, too, and I agree about this one. If you have not eaten at Cobble Hill in Cedar Rapids, you must. It's so good. It's really the best new restaurant in Iowa, in my opinion, right now. If you were in Des Moines, you would have to wait quite a bit to just get a seat in this place. But I've walked in on like a Saturday night, and there's plenty of places to sit, and just really consistently great, sort of high end American cuisine. All right. I heard they had some good morel mushroom dishes this spring too.
Oh, That sounds fabulous. Well, we are going to take a short break here, and we're going to get back to this conversation in a few minutes. My guest is travel writer and author Jennifer Wilson. She is the author of the book Running Away to Home, and you can find out more about her on her website, jennifer-wilson.com. Also, we want to hear from you. We want to hear your road trip memories. So you can give us a call at 866-780-9100, 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can also send an email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. We're going to share some great road trip stories, and of course, we would love to include your stories in this conversation. I got this email already from Jane in Ames. She said that she and her sister got pretty good at dressing down in the backseat of the little pink Rambler during one of the treks across an endless expanse of Nebraska en route to Colorado. She and I were repeatedly singing at the top of our lungs the song about the little Nash Rambler beating the Cadillac. She gives us some of the lyrics. I can't do it justice, but she says that's only one verse of several, and she'll spare us the rest. But a lot of fun memories, great adventures are had on summer road trips, and we'd love to find out about yours. This is Talk of Iowa. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. This hour, we're talking about summer road trips. My guest is Jennifer Wilson, travel writer and author. And we would love to hear your stories as well this hour. Give us a call at 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can also send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. And usually when we tell somebody about a trip, we tell them where we went, for how long, maybe even what we drove. But on most trips, the most important part is not where we went or what we did, but who we were with. That is the case for Tony Baranowski of Iowa Falls. And Tony, when you were a kid, your family took road trips to Table Rock in southern Missouri. How old were you?
You know, I think we started when I was pretty young, probably 6 or 8 years old, and all the way up into my teens. I remember it was an obstacle once I started detasseling and stuff like that.
It made it hard to plan around detasseling season. Who went on the trip with you?
Well, it was always the core group was my immediate family, my mom and dad, my sister Dana, and my paternal grandparents, my grandfather Anthony Peter Baranowski the first, and his wife Mary. That was how it started off. As we progressed, you know, more and more family members started jumping on board because it was a pretty great time.
And I know a lot of people go to southern Missouri these days, but you weren't heading down there to go to Branson. What did you do on these trips?
Well, yeah, and Branson was, like, really taken off in those days. You know, I remember once you'd get down there, you'd start seeing all the billboards for Yakov Smirnoff and stuff like that. But, no, we just stayed in a cabin on Table Rock Lake, and the whole week was spent on the lake, boating, fishing, and, of course, grilling and eating, you know, terrible breakfasts that were just hard to pack in.
Now, you did this every year. I suppose those trips were easy for you to take for granted when you were growing up.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I dreaded the drive. It was such a long haul. We would go meet up with my grandparents in Des Moines, and then I think it was 8 or 10 hours, but you know, once we were there, it was all about fun, and I had a great time. I loved going out in the boat. I did early morning fishing trips with my grandfather and my dad. And, I absolutely took it for granted. With a little bit of perspective now, and as a father myself, I have a whole different level of appreciation for it. I lost my dad about a year and a half ago to a sudden heart attack. He was only 60. And I was fortunate enough that I got to share with him how much I appreciated him as a dad. But now as I get further into fatherhood, my twins are 3.5 years old. I understand just how much work he did while we were down there, and it wasn't just about me and my sister. My grandfather was in pretty poor health by that time, and he never could have made those kinds of trips without my dad there to take care of him and to take him out in the boat. My dad literally lifted my grandfather in and out of the boat for years, and you know, and he had me to worry about on top of that. So really, I mean, as a dad now, and right around Father's Day, which is when we usually made the trip, I just have a whole different kind of appreciation.
Well, and a lot of us take family vacations. It's not that common, especially these days, to take grandparents along on those trips. Why do you think, especially given the challenges, it was so important for your dad to take his parents?
Well, there are a couple things. I think, A, my grandparents made it financially a little bit more feasible for us to take vacations like that. But I also think my dad had a really unique childhood in that his parents divorced when he was really young. He lived in right in the middle of Chicago in not very good neighborhoods as a young guy. And when he was about 13, he was living with my grandmother at that time. When he was about 13, he was pretty overcome by just how serious life got. He saw a friend shot right in front of him, and he broke loose, actually ran away, and was picked up by some police officers hustling pool in a bar in Iowa. And he was closer to my grandfather at that time, so they called him. My grandfather came and picked him up, and my dad settled in with my grandparents for the rest of his youth.
Wow.
And it was kind of a game changer. You know, he left Chicago where he had not really been a student at all, didn't attend school at all. I think he spent more time skipping and going to museums and stuff like that, or doing anything he could to avoid school. And then, you know, he got into Cedar Rapids and really flourished and, you know, became a really great athlete at Cedar Rapids Kennedy and met my mom, and they got married really young. And family just, because he didn't have it in the way he wanted it as a young man, became the biggest focus in his life.
Taking your grandfather on those trips and making all of those trips possible for him at a point in his life when he wasn't physically able to go. And that was obviously a gift to your grandfather, but you also see it as a gift to you and your sister too.
Yeah, there's no question. You know, he loved making up for lost time with my grandpa. There's no question about that. It was about their relationship, but above all, he just wanted to be the best dad, and he really was.
I'm so sorry that your kids won't get to know him in the way that you wanted them to. What do you tell them about your dad?
I remind them, you know, we had a couple years in there, and to this point, they still have pretty good memories, and we try and refresh those memories as often as possible. But, you know, I'm surrounded by other family members that appreciated him the same way that I did. He was a dad to more than just me and my sister. He was all about always making sure that everybody around him was having the best time. And that's what I'm talking about with all the work that he did down there. That's what he fed off of. He had a great time fishing, but he had a better time watching us have a good time. And as a result, I have a lot of people around me and around my kids that tell some pretty ridiculous and amazing and fun stories about my dad.
Tony, thank you so much for sharing your stories with us today.
Thank you for having me on.
Tony Baranowski of Iowa Falls. And we want to hear your stories, too. Summer road trip stories. They can be touching. They can be crazy. We have this comment from Laura of Des Moines. She said, we used to go camping in a pop-up camper when I was little. We'd load up my brother, my sister, me, mom, dad, a cousin, and a dog into a 1979 Chevy Malibu with a canoe on top, pulling the camper behind. One 12-hour drive, we decided it was an excellent idea to feed the dog peanuts. He started passing gas immediately. It was awful. So everybody has different memories that they take away from those family road trips, and we want to hear your stories. 866-780-9100. Tweet us at IPR Talk or send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. And with me is travel writer and author Jennifer Wilson, sharing ideas about great places to go in Iowa this summer. And Jennifer, before we get back to some of those great places, let's go to the phone. And Teresa is on the line in Cedar Rapids. Hi, Teresa.
Hi.
Hi, what's your story?
My story is about, at the time, it would have been my future husband. We started dating in January, and in March, he asked me to go on a 10-day road trip to South Dakota.
Wow.
And I said yes. The trip wasn't until May, and I just said, oh, sure, that sounds great, you know. And just kind of brushed it off a little bit. Well, here comes May, and the day before he was going to leave, he says, are you ready to go on the trip? And I said, sure. So we went on a 10-day road trip, having known each other only 5 months. And as you can imagine, little things become big things, and then you find out a lot of things about each other. We went through where we stayed in South Dakota. There was a tornado. He found out my intense fear of heights. I found out that when he was done with a trip, just in the middle of doing something, he would look at you and say, okay, I'm done, which meant we'd then get in the car and drive 8 hours straight home. Yeah.
Wow.
Which I was like, we're in South Dakota, and he's like, well, I think I'm done. I think I've seen everything I want to see. So let's just go home. And it was his car, and he was driving. So I said, okay. And at that point, you know, I'm just luggage. But it was interesting. And then he proposed to me 2 months later. And one of the things he said was, you were easy to get along with on the road trip. And I never really gave it much thought because we squabbled. And, you know, we did what people do on a road trip, which is you're in this little confined space, and you find out a lot about people when you're in a little confined space.
You get to know each other in a whole new way.
Yeah, in a big way. So that's one of the things that he said. And we've been married for almost 5 years, and he says, you know, he still likes to do the day trip. We'll go to Dubuque, we'll go to Waverly, we'll go down to Pella. We still do the day trip, and it's still part of our routine summer things to do, and we just love it.
Well, that's great. And do you still go home as soon as he says he's done?
Yes, we do. not as fast. It'd be like, okay, we got to eat before we go, or we have to get gas before we go. But yeah, when he's done, he's done.
Oh, Teresa, thank you so much for calling and sharing your story. You can join our conversation at 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk or send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. And Jennifer, what should we talk about next?
Well, I want to just touch on two things that we just talked about with the two different interviews we just listened to. First of all, I think traveling with a partner before you make any commitment is genius. I mean, you really, it's exactly what she was talking about. You really get to know someone in a concentrated way, how well they compromise, what their style is when they're tired. Are they going to freak out about the little details? Can you live with this stuff? And I feel like it's a really great kick in the tires before you decide to spend your life with someone. That's I think it's important. I would always travel with someone before I make any commitments. It's a great test, right?
Absolutely.
And the other thing, too, is that I think when we travel now, especially in the Facebook era, we feel like it has to be this beautiful, picturesque thing. And I blame that also on travel magazines trying to make everything look perfect. But the truth is, travel is often awful. And it's you're tired and you're crabby and this terrible thing happened and the dog got gas and all that kind of stuff. That's not bad. You know, I mean, our lives are generally a little bit pale in our cubicle existence. And so when you hit the road, it's going to be highs and lows. And you have to know how, you have to kind of expect to embrace that. And don't just expect the sort of airbrush moments, because you're not going to be talking about that perfect night you had in a respectable hotel and nothing went wrong. You're going to be talking about feeding the dog peanuts for years and years and years. You're making memories. And that comes out of sort of extreme circumstances that just don't happen in your daily life. So try to kind of get your travel brain on before you hit the road, and I think you'll find that it makes the trip a lot more pleasant. If you're not expecting it to go well, you're just expecting it to exist.
Well, and you know, I think that it's similar to how we celebrate the holidays, where we have these traditions, we have these expectations, but it is when things go wrong that the memories are made. I can't tell one Christmas from another Christmas unless I remember the year that we got snowed in and we had to follow the snowplow home, that kind of thing. Christina on Facebook said, "You want me to tell the digging my brother's car out of the salt flat trip story, the cleaning up the vomit from the car on the side of the road story, or the night we couldn't find any place to stay story?"
Unfortunately, that's going to mean, or fortunately, that's going to mean just like the interview about the father we heard. I mean, it's going to mean that the parents end up doing a lot of behind the scenes work to sort of make sure everything is everything goes somewhat smoothly so that you get home, you know. But it is you sort of think about the colossal amount of work it takes just to sort of get through a vacation with a group of people with a lot of separate interests.
Absolutely.
You know, it makes you think your parents quite a bit.
You also always learn that your parents are fallible on those trips.
Right. right.
Let's go back to the phones. Anne is on the line in Corydon. Hi, Anne.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What would you like to talk about?
About 2 years ago, my husband and I took a really special trip. We took a road trip with my mom, who was 78 at the time. We decided to drive, we're in southern Iowa, and we decided to drive up to Winnipeg in Canada. And my dad was not interested in this trip, so he stayed home. So the three of us took off in my little Subaru Outback, and my mom had some difficulty walking, so she sat in the front, and the three of us just took off. We meandered our way from southern Iowa through sort of western, midwestern Iowa, went beyond the interstate, beyond 80, went to Elkhorn, had never been to Elkhorn, and then went up to the Lost Hills. And then from there, we continued on to Lamar's, and we went to Hawkeye Point, the highest point in Iowa, which is in the middle of a field. And if you've never been there, it's like one of those quirky Iowa things. You just got to go. And we had the best time just being up in areas that we're not normally in. And my mom she grew up in southern Iowa, but she was born in Worthington, Minnesota, and I had never been there before. So we took her to Worthington specifically so she could see the birth, you know, her town of birth and where her grandparents used to live. And that was such a memorable time to be with my mom. This will be an experience I'll never be able to get back. You know, she will, she's of an age in which I will never have that chance again. And I'm so thankful that I got this chance to spend time with my mom in an area that she grew up. She has fond memories. She could share with me the time she spent with her grandparents. And I mean, what a true joy that was.
Oh, Anne, thank you so much for sharing that story. And Jennifer, I think that also reminds us when we go out on these road trips, we tend to, most of us, map the quickest way to get to our destination.
Right.
And there are a lot of quick ways to go. But when you get off the beaten path, sometimes you have the best adventures.
Well, thank God for Google Maps, because it's always wrong and you're going to end up being lost. And you know, it revel in being lost, right?
Absolutely. Well, she was talking about some of the off the wall Iowa destinations. And you have collected a little list of some off the wall Iowa destinations.
That's right. You know, I like a small town festival. And it seems like all of them have their own sort of quirky addition to what a festival means to them. One place I love to go, and we've done this for the past several years, Slater really knows how to throw a 4th of July. this small town. It's sort of east of Ames. It's sort of the Iowa that most of us remember. It's this really tight little community. You can travel around via golf cart in town. That's fine. The garden center associated with their old school grocery store, it's Town and Country Market. It's one of the few places in the state to buy buck roses, which is invented at Iowa State.
Right.
That's long blooming version of the wild Iowa rose. Anyway, they're starting super early this year on Saturday, June 28th. The fire department is celebrating the 100th anniversary. They're going to have a big fire truck parade. But the 4th of July in and of itself is amazing. And this year it's going to be even better because it's the 125th anniversary. And they're going to have, here's their things, mud volleyball tournament, right? Bingo at the beer tent. And I have won. It's like you get like $10 sometimes.
Wow.
Uh-huh. Pays for Midway. State Fair talent show winners are performing. There is a queen. I'm not running this year. I'm happy to nominate you, Charity, if you'd like to be in the running
for
that.
You know, I'm already in a parade that day, so
okay,
I'm
good.
Afraid
Got
I'm
it.
Not going to be able to go.
Magician, hypnotist, I like when those are there. But here's the deal. They have a big, huge parade, and they throw candy, like a lot of candy. A lot of parades are not doing that, and I think it's ridiculous. Why have a parade, right? I mean, it's.
I know that my children believe that's the only point in having a parade.
Yeah, giant bags of candy, because
right.
You have a big candy desert between Easter and Halloween, and I think that you should have a time in there that you get to get candy off the street. So, and so you also the location of Slater is cool because it's at the intersection of the Heart of Iowa Bike Trail and the High Trestle Trail, and you've got the Nighthawk Bar right in town, so you can have a beer and a burger and then hit the road again.
All right. And you also, I know, are a fan of the Matchstick Marvels Museum in Gladbrook.
That's
which
right.
Which has gotten a lot of press in the last year with the addition of the International Space Station and all kinds of great stuff. But this is quite the endeavor.
All right. You know, I wasn't, my soul wasn't steeled to find this place. And that's why I was so blown away. It's like the little places that the caller was talking about earlier that you just sort of run across. I was going to travel to Union Grove State Park, which has a couple of new cabins there, a really nice spot to overnight. You've also got sort of a double deal this year, too. The 100th annual Meskwaki Powwow is August 6th through 10th this year. It's only a few minutes away. So you can stay at Union Grove. You can hit the powwow. But if you go into Gladbrook, Matchstick Marvels is incredible. It's really just all of these amazing world landmarks made out of matchsticks. They have the Space Shuttle Challenger. They have Notre Dame. They have Hogwarts. They've been featured in Ripley's Believe It or Not. What I like the best, and I know this is minor and weird, you know, this speaks to weirdness, but there are these little Tupperware ready-made containers full of matchsticks for kids. It's like $5. So you go back to the park and they're like building their own version of what a matchstick building looks like. It's just really cool. But I mean, looking around at those things, it sounds just whimsical and pointless, but I love that sort of thing because it's part of the road trip vibe itself. You know, we do amazing things when we just are kind of noodling in that creative space in our mind. No point, no purpose, except pleasure. And I absolutely loved Matchstick Marvels.
Oh, wonderful. Well, Jennifer, thank you so much for being here today.
Well, thanks for having me again.
Jennifer Wilson, travel writer and author of Running Away to Home. Her website is jennifer-wilson.com. And I'll leave you with this email from Dan. My most memorable road trip was to Arizona in our 59 Plymouth station wagon. We had no AC, so Dad bought a window swamp cooler from J.C. Whitney that attached to the window, was filled with water, and when you pulled the cord, a spring-loaded fan blew cooled air into the car. It never worked properly. It did cool some of us down, however, by throwing lots of water into the car, drenching Mom and Dad and providing some entertainment. I also remember driving through the White Mountains of Arizona. It was a miserable trip that I wouldn't have missed for the world. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio.